Happy Mother's Day to the mothers and fathers. You didn't expect that, did you? I learned a lesson about Mother's Day preaching many, many years ago. The two mothers told me, we do not really appreciate what we hear from the pulpit on Mother's Days. They are too mushy. Everything seems so compromising. So today, this is not a Mother's Day sermon. We want to focus on the family. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Help us to understand the nature and the mission of the church through the family, through mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the foundation for this particular meditation describes and relates to really the nature of the church and what we are called upon to be and to do as Christians in society. I'd like you to get a blank page, whether on your device or a piece of paper, and to draw three different little figures that will help us to understand what the family is all about and what God expects us to do and to be and to accomplish and to become. On the far right-hand side of your page, draw a triangle. Three sides, even I know that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the figure, you may place a G for God. Now, on the far left-hand side of your page, draw a circle. And in the circle, write all the names that you can think of, names of institutions and aspects of society that you believe are crucial to the functioning of a state. Examples, the family, education, finance, international relations, business, politics, government, and so on. Now draw a line through the circle that divides the circle into two very unequal parts, a small part and a large part. Even I can do that. That means that while the whole world belongs to God, there's an enemy who has come along and divided the world and usurped most of it. And the little part that's left is the part that God controls. Now, between the two figures, draw a church. Would you like to see my figure of a church? It's a square. And then at the top of the square, put a triangle for the roof. At the apex of the triangle, put a cross. Now draw a line from the triangle through the church to the circle. The idea I want to share with you is this, that God has chosen the church to bring the world back to him. Does that make sense? In other words, there's no aspect of the state of society that does not belong to God. Everything is under the sovereignty of Almighty God. And he's supposed to control every detail of life. And the church is his agent for bringing the entire society back to the sovereignty of God. If you take a look at the prophecies of Daniel, at least once or twice Daniel says, and the kingdom was given to the saints. So there's no aspect of life that is outside of the responsibility of the church, even politics, the government, and so on. We are supposed to control those aspects. Maybe controversial, but all we have to do is read the Bible. That means that every Christian and every institution of man is answerable to Almighty God in the end. And one day, the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. Now, when we look in the Bible, we see some very interesting things. There was a Dutch theologian many years ago by the name of Abraham Kuyper, K-U-Y-P-E-R, Dutch philosopher, Dutch Christian theologian, who reminded us of the all-embracing scope of the Bible and biblical faith, that by way of a background, the late Charles Colston explained some of his thinking for us. To quote, he said, the biblical view is that faith has to do with all of life. Faith has to do with all of life. Every decision we make reflects what we believe and what we value. He goes on to explain the Kuyper's position as follows. Quote, Kuyper argued that to stand against a comprehensive secularism, we must articulate a Christian philosophy that is equally comprehensive. We must see Christianity as an all-embracing system of thought that gives us a perspective from which to view every part of life, family, church, work, politics, science, art, and culture. There's nothing in this world outside the sovereignty of God and therefore outside the ministry of the church. We must impact every aspect. Although the church today seems to have withdrawn from the world and left it up to the enemy, the Philistines and the Canaanites. In short, Christianity must be a worldview, must have a worldview of the entire world, an intellectual grid through which we can interpret everything we see or read or do. God created the world, and everything in the world relates in some way to him, to God. So that Kuyper himself practiced what he taught, because on account of Kuyper's understanding and life obedience, he founded a Christian university in Holland, published a newspaper, wrote daily editorials, became Prime Minister of Holland, promoting social and educational reforms. He demonstrated that the Christian must deal with the sacred, the secular, and the profane. The church has a tendency to withdraw into itself to deal with what we call spiritual stuff. Everything is spiritual. Even money, we say, is a symbol of value. What is a symbol? That's a kind of spiritual entity. Everything in life is spiritual because we view it from God's point of view. Everything is created by God, for his glory, which he shares with his people. Now, there are two aspects to this that I would like us to discuss as we reflect on the scriptures that we just read. We need to focus on the family and the state. So one of the things that we need to do as a Christian community is, by God's grace, through the family in the church, to bring all the families in the state to God, and through the family, impact all the aspects of life we see in the state and society. Are we together? Have I lost anybody? No. Thank you. Okay, let's turn to the scriptures that we just read. Let's look at Eli. Eli was the head of state, and he was also the head of the church, because in Bible times, there was no separation of church and state. And there still is no separation of church and state from God's point of view. Maybe from the politician's point of view, there's separation. But with God, there's no separation between the earth is the Lord's. This is my Father's world, every aspect of it. And we are supposed to control it, we Christians. There is no hope for this world outside the church. So we have to be careful about withdrawing into a little ghetto. When you send a man off to work on Monday morning, you are sending out a missionary to his workplace. When you vote for a politician who is a Christian, you're sending him to the world of politics and government to establish the kingdom of God. Because apart from the kingdom of God, there is no hope. So Eli was the father of the nation, so to speak. He was the head of state, the head of the church. And he was supposed to lead the world, the church and the state, in such a way as to glorify God and establish the security of God's people. However, Eli was a total failure. He failed as a Christian, as a servant of God. The story says that when he died, he was overweight, to 90 plus years, and that contributed to his falling and just dying on the ground when he heard the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines. He apparently didn't have a good diet, he didn't eat properly, he abused his body as he abused his mind, and so on and so on. And because of him and his failure as a father and as a pastor, the Philistines humiliated God's people. They defeated them all the time, not only because of their technology, but also because of their military expertise. They were well-trained people, but primarily because of Israel's failure as a spiritual community. And they need to go back, as we need to go back today, to the foundations. You notice that if you go on in the story, there's a war between Israel and the Philistines. And the Philistines were very powerful, and they defeated God's people. And so God's people decided, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant into the military setting, and let God fight for us. So they brought the Ark as a kind of fetish, as a kind of psychological warfare, and they still failed. Not only that, the Ark was captured, which means that God was captured. And because of that, the Philistines won again. Why? Because Hophni and Phinehas, as well as the elders of the people, were disobedient to God. They did not follow God's commandments and principles. Hophni and Phinehas were the two sons of Eli. They're supposed to be leaders of the people, spiritual leaders, but they were a disgrace. And I wonder if there are any Christians today out in the workplace who are a disgrace to the church. To be very, very careful that we are totally obedient people. They were involved sexually with the women who served at the tent of meeting, and so on. Notice this, God sent a messenger to the father, to Eli, the head of state, to warn him, if you do not correct yourself and your sons, you're going to go down in history, literally, down. And your generation will never see glory in this world. Notice that God sent a messenger, an angel, to Eli. Eli didn't listen. In the early days when Samuel was growing up in Eli's presence, God spoke directly to Samuel and said, tell Eli so-and-so. Eli asked the next morning, what did God say to you last night? Samuel told him everything. What was his response? It's God. He can do whatever he wants. That's a spiritual leader? It is the Lord. Let him do what seems best to him. And then, of course, there were his sons, as you said, who were extremely disobedient, very secular people, probably into pornography. He appointed them as leaders. Why would you, as a spiritual leader, appoint as leaders the boys that you did not bring up properly in God's work? For heaven's sake. And notice this. Those two boys did not have the training and mentoring of their dad. He failed as a father. Nevertheless, there was some hope. At least we think so. Because in the wings was waiting a young man by the name of Samuel. Samuel was a great example. Samuel succeeded Eli as head of state and head of the church, and he did a fantastic job. He did very well. He was a good prophet. He was a faithful teacher of the law. He was a faithful priest. Because of him, Israelites were able to conquer the Philistines. They even humiliated their god, their idol Dagon or Dagon. So there was the negative aspect, but there was also the positive aspect to the whole Israel situation. 1 Samuel 3:19 to chapter 4, verse 1 summarizes the goodness, the good things about Samuel. He was a true spirit. He brought about true spiritual revival in the nation as well as in the church. He was a clear contrast to Eli. He had great success over the Philistines. He had great success, in effect, in the life of the people of Israel. He was a good judge. He had an impact on the spirit, the spiritual life, and the state life. But, in the end, Samuel was no more effective than Eli. What a sad picture. Because when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons, two sons, another two sons, to be judges in Israel. Notice that. He was probably about 65 years old when he appointed these two boys. They had biblical names, good names, holy names, but that's about it. They did not have a holy character because a father did not instill in his son the holy character of God. He failed as a father. Now, Eli, if he had been a good father, what would he have done with his son? He would have, according to the law, executed those two boys. Because the law provided for that. Samuel should have done the same thing. Instead of employing them as assistant leaders, after they started to carry out their shenanigans, he should have executed them to purge the evil from the land. But he did not do that. What was the result? The result was, after the two things, we're talking about 200 years after Joshua, you know, in this situation. Everything is downhill. Because he failed as a father, the elders came and said, look, we have had enough. We can't take this kind of tradition anymore. Please appoint us a king. Now listen carefully. Appoint us a king so that we might be like the nations round about. Did you get that? In other words, the spiritual state has failed. Make us secular as God's people. And what, you know, one of the things, amazing things that I've discovered in just reading these stories? How up to date the Bible is. What we're talking about with Samuel and Eli is exactly what we're going through right now in Ontario. Right now. The society is a mess. Because the church doesn't fight. The church has withdrawn into a little spiritual ghetto. It's nice and nice, comfortable. The impact on the family in this province is negative and due to the failure of God's people. We're just like Eli and Samuel. Now I want to rush on. There's a lot more, of course, but, you know, and just apply this to our situation right now. But before I transition there, I want to mention something that I found very interesting. That there's no mention in this story about the mothers. You'd notice that? Eli's mother is not mentioned. The mother of Eli's sons were not mentioned. Samuel's mother is not mentioned beyond the birth of Samuel. And the mother of Samuel's sons, we don't know anything about her. Why? Those mothers must have looked at their sons and wept to see what was happening to their boys, because the fathers wouldn't function as fathers and dads. Why? But today, right here in Canada, there's a tendency to ignore mothers. I want to read you something that appeared on my computer. You believe I read something on the computer? I'm making progress, man. Here's a headline. Canadian school tries to cancel Mother's Day. Anybody saw that? Did you read that anywhere? This is a school out in BC. Canadian school tries to cancel Mother's Day. May 9, 2017. The attack on the family is relentless. It just won't let anything go by without attempting to rearrange reality and denigrating what we cherish. Mother's Day pretty much means one thing, a day to celebrate mom. Flowers, brunch, it all seems so simple, but it's not, at least not for the ideologues. And what they're talking about here is a school out in BC where the teachers are saying, the school is saying, you are not allowed to make anything for Mother's Day and take it home. You can celebrate Mother's Day in your own home, but the school does not allow any mention of it. Okay, I'm rushing. You know why. Application. Today, in Ontario and beyond, God's family model has been under attack by government and by law, promoting the agendas of opposing special interest groups. Their success includes the following. And I remember getting a letter one day from the government of Ontario about, I better not say a letter from them, but information from them about marriage customs and practices, that if you marry a couple and the woman wants to take the name of her new husband, she has to apply. And I think she had to pay some money to have her name changed to Mrs. So-and-so. Let me go through a list of one very quickly. One, the restructuring of the family, starting with spouses. Husband and wife has been replaced by partners. How many of you knew that? Did you know you didn't have a wife, you just have a partner? You know you didn't have a husband, you just had a partner? Replaced by partner, okay? Number two, parents are no longer father and mother, but parent one and parent two. And I think with progress, you can go parent two, three, four, five, six. Thirdly, Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Our cultural engineers, however, have replaced God with self and decided that sex and gender are not fixed, but fluid. Indeed, maleness and femaleness are culturally fluid. One chooses one's gender for what period of time he chooses. I want to be male for the next 2 years, and then I might switch to something else. One may be female for X years, then male for self-determined duration. At the same time, to produce a baby, the components cannot be denied. So here we have a situation where this is a female, according to us, who chooses to be male for a time, okay? And after a time decides, this female male wants to have a baby, this female male becomes a pregnant, so now we have a pregnant male. Do you understand what's going on in the society? It's absolutely chaotic. But this is Canada, where everything goes, or anything goes. Furthermore, a person traditionally classed female may choose to be male, and so on. So what we're having is the Philistine Canaanite culture of Canada controlling the Christian community. Same thing that happened with Eli and Samuel. How much progress have we made? And the church, in the meantime, there are two tragedies that accompany this new state of affairs. Okay? A, the new society is not aware that God is God and his laws are as immutable as the laws of nature. One may break oneself against the laws of God, but you cannot break the laws of God. The day will ultimately come when the strategy backfires and the system crumbles, and you're going to have a totally chaotic society. And when you have a chaotic society, people long for a strong leader who will bring control and some kind of system or composure to the society, and that's where a strong leader comes in as the Antichrist. So people will be willing to embrace the Antichrist just to have some peace and order in society. The day will surely come when the whole anti-God, anti-Christian, numerality tolerance culture will backfire and crumble simply because it is not sustainable, being contrary to the nature of human nature, the way God has established things. This, however, a second tragedy that we need to be aware of, and this is probably more deadly and more responsible than the first, and I don't know how many of you have observed, how many Christian pastors, even leaders of denominations, are siding with the Philistines and endorsing the stupid stuff that's coming from the secular society, contrary to God's law, God's will, God's mind, God's word. A segment of God's people have been supporting, embracing, and celebrating the life of a new society, Canaanite though it may be. Pastors, priests, churches, denominations have embraced the rebellion and support the people involved, legitimizing their belief system and morality in the name of love and compassion. You got to love people. That's a love that has no skeleton structure. That's a love that is weak and watery. Love must be tough in order to be love. I'm almost done, so there's hope. In addition, churches on the biblical side of the divide are relatively silent. Christians don't fight. Everything happens. Everybody else fights. I could give you examples, but I don't have time for that. I tell you, it is a sad situation. You're supposed to get the good news today, right? This Mother's Day. But we've got to face some facts. And we've got to get acting. Christians have to wake up in Canada and get moving. Otherwise, there's no hope. The Christians are asleep in this country and the United States. Churches on the biblical side of the divide are relatively silent. We can't afford it. God's people are forbidden to be ignorant. God's leaders being equipped and commissioned to truly equip God's people. Hear what the Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not worldly. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I respectfully beg you as a church that the pastors and teachers of this church, in cooperation with other churches of the city, take serious and focused attention, action, to equip the people of God to apply the strategy of Paul to the urgent commission of Christ to redeem the family so that God's family may proceed to redeem every aspect of the state and the culture, bringing Canada back to Almighty God, the owner of this state, of this nation. Let's pray. Eternal God, creator, sustainer, sovereign of the universe, we appeal to you, Lord God, to raise up among us, your people, a strong army of defenders and teachers of truth. Raise up in our church and other Brampton churches, pastors and teachers to so impact our society that our people will be totally impacted by your truth. Lord God, raise up an army who will demolish strongholds. Strongholds of political correctness and inclusiveness and tolerance, falsely understood. Demolish arguments and every pretension set up against true knowledge. Lord God, raise up surgeons of God who will open the eyes of those who are deceived by sinful man's false teachings regarding tolerance. Save those who rebel against your truth from your final judgment through Christ, our courageous commander. Amen.